Thank you, Matthew and team. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Seven Oaks. If you're visiting us, my name is Jamie. I'm also one of the pastoral team here at the church that love to serve you. So welcome. Today's message is going to be a very different type of message than what we would usually give. So if you're visiting us this morning, just know that it's a very different type of message. It's very much a church family, business kind of vision-based message. So it's a little different. What I normally would do is preach from a passage of scripture that fits into a sermon series that we're following. It would either be me or one of our other pastors, but today is different. I am going to be doing some biblical reflection and context setting, but I'm going to be talking about our journey as a church over the last few years. So we're going to be doing a little bit of history, and then laying out a plan for you, a proposed plan that we believe is the right way to go regarding the physical building, the facility, something that we've been discussing for a number of years now. And it's good to do the history piece, because it's easy to forget some of the things we've said, some of the journey that we've been on. And of course, for some of you, you are so new here that you don't know all of that, so it's good for us to do the history. Before I go on, though, the first thing I'd like to say is that I want you to understand that this isn't just Jamie sharing what Jamie thinks, okay? It is what I think, and it is where I believe the Lord is leading us. However, this discussion has been had with our pastoral team. We've prayed and talked about it. The team are behind it. We've talked with the elders board, and they are behind it. They've given me their backing to share this with you today. So it comes from our leadership community. And also, one of the things I mentioned to you at the fall kickoff, I'm not sure if you remember, is that I was going to be having some significant conversations this autumn regarding the building. And one of those was with our original task force. So we got together, I pitched this kind of idea to them, got some of their feedback, benefited from their wisdom and ideas and so on. So this is coming from not just Jamie. Before we get into the specifics, though, of our journey and history, I'd like to start with a passage of scripture from the book of Joshua. It's coming up on the screen for you, or you can open it in your Bibles to Joshua 1:1, and we're going to read the first five verses. It says this: After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. The reason I shared this passage and highlighted the word land, place, land, and territory is because this whole idea of land was actually really, really, really important in the ancient world. In fact, there's a whole theology in the Bible about the land. If you didn't have a permanent possession of land, you couldn't grow crops, you couldn't graze animals, you couldn't put down roots, you had no inheritance to pass on to your children. Land was incredibly, incredibly important. In fact, land is still important, and it has been throughout history. How many wars have been fought in our history over land? How many people have been uprooted from land and moved on? We know that today, don't we? We've all seen the terrible news stories of people from Iraq and Syria being forced out of their land and in droves walking into Europe. Land has always been a big deal. But this idea of land in the sense of place and rootedness, it just seems different today, however. What I mean by that is mobility has increased so much and globalization has made the globe smaller that people travel and move around so much more and more easily. We move around from place to place and place, and there is less rootedness, by and large. Very few of us live on the family property that's been in the family for generations and generations and generations, has passed on to us, that will pass on to our kids. Very few of us do that anymore. Very little food is grown on our land anymore. You might have a little vegetable patch, but you don't need land to grow food. Most of us get our food in containers and boxes from a grocery store, right? So this kind of earthy sense of place and land and space and rootedness is just not quite the same as it was back in Joshua's day. Now, as Christians, we might argue, well, that's okay, because this is a pilgrimage anyway. We're just passing through this land, so it's okay. And there's a certain amount of truth to that. Of course there is. The world, as it currently is, in the shape that it currently is not permanent. In as far as, at the end of the book of Revelation, John sees this beautiful picture of the city of God descending from the heavens down to earth, and earth and heaven are fused together, and everything is made new and perfect, the new heavens and the new earth. So it's different. So it is true in that sense that we're just here temporarily. However, in the meantime, since we're placed here, and Acts 17 talks about how God placed the nations, Christians, as well as affirming a theology of pilgrimage, have also affirmed a theology of place and space and land. In medieval Europe, the cathedral was always the biggest and grandest of structures in the area. It took decades to build these things. Your grandfather probably started building on it, and your father, and then you. Like decades and decades and decades to build these incredible cathedrals. And they were just wonderful, just huge, glorious structures built to the glory of God, and sometimes to the glory of man as well. But these structures were so huge, and if you've ever had the benefit of visiting any of these cathedrals or basilica, those kind of things, there is something to the grandeur of the building that speaks to the glory and the power, the might and the bigness of God. Now, you and I know that the church is not the building, right? Like, we get that. We know that we are the church. The people are the church. We say that from this platform almost every Sunday, that you are scattered in Abbotsford. The church is scattered throughout Abbotsford. So we get that. However, we also talk about this idea of the gathered church as well, and we talk about how we come back to gather in this place, a place that you're sitting in right now. And there is something to the fact that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of prayers have been said in this room over the years. And thousands upon thousands of songs, like the ones we sung this morning, have been sung in this room. And many, many people have given their life to Jesus Christ in this room, in your pews, down here at the front. And many people for the first time have received their call to the mission field in this room and in this building. So there's something to our place and our space that is special to us, that is significant. It's important, even if we know we are the church. In the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, there have been churches in nations, particularly my own in the UK, where the Church of England divided up the nation into what they call parishes, right? And the idea is that a church serves its local area, its local parish. The idea is being that the church isn't going anywhere. It's planted and rooted here to serve the people, to serve the community. This idea of place and space. So we could go on talking about pilgrimage versus place for a long time. We don't have time to do that. I would argue that I think both are affirmed in Scripture, and we could talk about that another day. But what I'd like to say is this. It fits into our history, so I'm going to say it again when we get to it in the history in a few moments, but I'm going to say it first now. When we made a decision to stay in this place, in this space, 2575 Gladwin Road, Central Abbotsford, when we communicated that from the front of the stage here by our then board chair, as we launched that to you, as we shared that with you, it was received by you, by and large, as good news. I sensed then and following, it was almost like this like collective breath. Okay, good. We're staying. We want to be here. It was good news. It was well received by you. It didn't answer all the questions of, well, how are we going to stay here and what's it going to look like and how are we going to fix the things that need fixing? But it answered the fact that we're not interested in selling. We believe we should be here because this space is important. If we're out in the suburbs, we can't do all the things that we do here. It's important to us. Okay, so some of you may be asking, well, why are we talking about the facility? What's this issue? Where have we been? Remind me of the history. I wasn't here. Help me out. So here we go. Some history for you. When I was first employed here at the church back in January 2008, I was the young adults pastor. And back in those days, we had kind of on and off conversations here and there about the physical building, about this place. And it was discussions around the table, around the pastoral table, sometimes discussions around the elders' table from time to time. And we kind of kicked things around a little bit, like, yeah, I know things are kind of breaking down, and what do we do, and those kind of things. And we talked about how the facility was getting older, some significant upgrades and maintenance was needed. But where the discussion often landed, or the lightning rod of the discussion, was typically the youth center roof. And we talked about that youth center roof, that doesn't look white anymore, and it's leaking and all those kind of things. We talked about that. But, you know, the problem with doing anything about that was that, firstly, it is a room that isn't used all that much, or it wasn't used all that much, and so to spend all that money on a youth center roof felt like a bit of a possibly a waste of money. But also, we hadn't decided to stay at this point. We haven't figured out anything about our facility yet, so do we really want to go and put a roof on something we may not even keep? And so those were the kind of discussions. They came up now and again. I'd see a roofer up there, and another hole was being patched up, and so we'd start talking about it, and it would kind of go on and off. And the other issue, as well as talking about the physical structure and fixing it, and the upgrades that were needed, the other issue was we were a church that was in continual decline in numbers, year over year over year. And the other question was, do we have too much square footage for the size of our congregation? And indeed, is this room we're sitting in right now, is it just too big and cavernous for us? And what can we do about it? So those are the discussions. Somewhere around 2011, 2012, somewhere in there, our lead pastor at the time, Errol Rempel, began a more intentional conversation then about this. Okay, in light of all this stuff, in light of the fact that the facility needs some work, in light of the fact that we're kind of declining and we're wondering if we need this much space and should we be moving or should we be trying to make it smaller or whatever, let's talk about this. Errol brought it to our board of elders and a process called Facing Our Future began. In other words, we can't duck this issue. We need to face it head on. We need to do our due diligence. We need to be carefully moving forward and prayerfully moving forward, asking the Lord where he would lead us and what he wants us to do regarding the building. Ken, if you could bring the slide up for us. Errol and the staff and board began a dialogue regarding the building, and these were the two major challenges. One, the aging building is becoming costly from a maintenance perspective. And number two, the felt need to right-size our facility to suit our congregational size. Those were the two major issues that we were wrestling with. The Board of Elders formed a task force called the Facing Our Future Task Force. They were made up of staff and elders and members of the congregation who had specific expertise and so on. And the mandate was to go and think and pray and discuss about how we could possibly solve some of these issues. And so they started looking at it from a number of different angles and started asking questions, what could we do with this building? What are some of the solutions? Where could we go? What are some of the things that are hindering us? Those kind of things. Use your expertise to kind of come up with some options for us. We held some town hall style meetings in the gym just over here, where many of us got around tables and we were presented with some questions to try to answer, to feed back to the task force and the board. They wanted our input. They wanted to hear what we had to say about certain issues. So we had these town hall style meetings. The result of that long process, well over a year, the result of that process was that our task force came up with 8 potential options that we could do. Like everything on the table. And then they narrowed those 8 down to 4 that they'd actually recommend. So 8 options, but 4 that they recommend. And they presented that to our board of elders for review. And it was comprehensive. It was like pros, cons, next steps, all those kind of things. Comprehensive report. presented to the Board of Elders, and then in February 24th, 2013, we held a congregational meeting where the Task Force presented it to you, and you got to hear it for the first time. If you bring up the puzzle piece picture for us. Where the Task Force ended was with a slide similar to this that said, with these four options, they're almost like puzzles that there's one kind of piece missing. That is, it is not absolutely obvious to us that one of these options is the right option and the right way to go. Each of them have a hole missing, a piece missing, a God-shaped hole missing that needs to be filled, and we need to figure that out. So as they came to the end of their process, the Board of Elders called us, the church family, to a season of prayer. And we began to pray. We began to meet in the youth center once a month for a special Sunday afternoon prayer meeting. We prayed throughout that time. It was quite a while that we were in this season of prayer. We included it in our 24/7 prayer week where we'd get on our knees before Jesus and say, Lord, help us fill the God-shaped hole. Because a God-shaped hole needs God to fill it. We can't. Help us. So we went into this season of prayer. No sooner had we begun to pray and really seek Jesus, having done our due diligence through the task force and seeking the Lord for an answer, than some options started to come on the horizon. We began some discussions. The first one was with Calvin Presbyterian Church. They had a facility challenge of their own, and they heard on the grapevine that we were talking about our building. So our leadership teams began to talk together and think about what it could look like. And the idea was, what would it look like if Calvin were to kind of move in and we were to do some kind of facility share relationship? Calvin benefit because they need a facility to worship in, and we're talking about maybe the youth center. But they also benefit is because they could use offices and so on. We benefit because they'd buy in, and we get an influx of cash that we could use to fix up the building. So we probed it, we talked about it, pros and cons. There were far too many complexities really in that. It wasn't right for them or us in the end. And so we went our separate ways and it was all good. By the way, if you've driven on the Mission Highway recently, Mission Highway and Hazelwood, the new structure that's being built there, that's Calvin Presbyterian. I'm really pleased for them. That's awesome for them that they're getting to do what they want to do. So that's good. Secondly, then, we began another discussion, or we sort of went into a discussion that was very preliminary. We never actually sat down sort of at a table, but it was a preliminary thing, with an agency in town who were talking about maybe buying the whole piece, buy the whole facility, the whole piece of land, and then we'd take a big whack of cash and we'd go and buy a piece of land and build something new. Very preliminary discussion. It didn't really go anywhere. The option got probed a little bit, but we wanted to make sure that we probed everything. We'd done our diligence. We were praying. If the Lord was bringing options, we wanted to make sure we prayed about it and probed it. So it didn't go anywhere. In June of 2013, Errol Rempel, our lead pastor, left our church and went on to the district office where he is now. That guy started the process and just left us. Just kidding. I love Errol. He's awesome. He's doing a great job. Let's leave that bit out of the recording. He's still my boss, you know. Errol moves on to the district office. He's doing a wonderful job there. What happened for us, though, is we began then a 10-month season of discernment about the next iteration of leadership for this church. Who's going to be our next lead pastor? We began to pray, and we had a team, and so on, and off we go for a 10-month process. In many ways, then, the pause button kind of got pressed on this whole process, not because things weren't happening in the background and we're still kind of having conversations, but the more pressing issue was the leadership thing. And so it kind of got, we didn't talk about it much, it kind of got left for a while. During that time, though, and I believe kind of flowing out of that discussion about potential sale, the board felt we at least need to make a decision about whether we're staying or not. We're not going to be able to answer all the questions, but at least let's decide if we're going to sell or not. So around that, I remember it being in that board meeting, around the table and amongst our staff, there was zero appetite to sell this building, to sell this land, to go off into the suburbs. We just felt that this is our place, this is our space. we would have a list of ministries like this that we couldn't do anymore if we weren't here, if we were out in the suburbs somewhere. If we wanted, and there was just no plot of land that was feasible in this kind of location, in this area. So we decided to pray. We communicated it to you, the church family, and it was warmly received by you. That was my reference earlier, connected to this sense of place and land and space and territory. It was, we could see because of our rootedness here, where Jesus was working in some of these key ministries was because of this location. Where we seem to be working in those ministries that reached out to the local community, to central Abbotsford. And it's continued, even up to 2 weeks ago, when we told you, our neighbors, the school next door phoned us and said, guys, is there any way you can help us? Because this kid's coming to school hungry and we don't have a breakfast program. And we said, yes, of course, you're our neighbors. How could we not? And so we began that. Well, we couldn't be that kind of neighbor if we weren't here, right? These things that Jesus is leading into us into require that we be here. And so now we've moved into this space where we're only exploring stay options. A third option came on the horizon. Our board began a discussion with a subset of the Garden Park Towers board. They were just probing about maybe potentially putting up another tower in Abbotsford somewhere. What would it look like if we subdivided our property, sold them an acre on the youth center end, acre and a half? They built their tower, we took the money, and were able to renovate sort of this end and the education wing and so on. So we had a very early kind of discussion. That one didn't go anywhere either. They decided not to put up a tower. We have many issues with that. What would happen to parking? I mean, it would have been very, very difficult to navigate, but it was good. All of these discussions have been good ones, because they help us to clarify the issue. They help us to decide, what do we really want? It led us to decide to stay here because of discussion. They're good to have, to probe. During this time, in April 2014, I became the lead pastor of this church. And one of the things I said to the hiring committee and then to the board, I said, you know what, that facing the future piece, I don't know about that. I'm not sure that I have much to say about that right now, and certainly for my first year or so, I'm not going to have a lot of time for that. And that was true. My first year here was busy by hiring new staff members and taking us back to one service and a new statement of vision. There's a lot of things that I was kind of busy with, was taking my energy and so on with, and God has blessed us with incredible staff. God has really led us well there. And so now we're in the place where I've had a bit more time to reflect. So the last 6 months or so, I've been praying and thinking through this and talking with our staff and talking with our board and so on, and had time to reflect. So we've investigated three potential options, none of which have worked out. Great discussions to have, but none have worked out. So where it's left us here in the autumn of 2015 is, what do we do next, God? There's no other options that are coming our way. What are we supposed to do? Where would you be leading us, Lord? Where does it leave us come fall 2015? Well, let me say, first of all, as I began to reflect, I believe the landscape has changed. What I mean by the landscape has changed is that we're not the same church as we were when we began this 4 years ago. We're not the same church. Things have changed. And as things change, you don't ask the same questions you asked 4 years ago. You need to ask new questions. Even 2 years ago, we no longer now, there's none of that discussion of right-sizing. We don't hear that language. We don't speak that kind of language anymore. 4 years ago, when the process began, we were in two services, and there was 300 and something people in one service and 250 people in the other, and we just felt like we were in this huge cavern, and the felt need to right size was really palpable. We're not in two services anymore, we're in one service, and although this worship center is still kind of big and we have a lot of space, the sense I have now is, yeah, that means we can fill it. It means we have room to grow, right? We're not in two services anymore. It's less of a felt problem. Well, let me tell you some encouraging news. Since 1999, Seven Oaks Alliance Church has declined year on year, on year, on year for 15 years. 1999 to 2015, we've declined from some 1,100, 1,200 people to 600-ish. 650, but that's a big decline over the years. We began to kind of slow that decline. Well, I'm happy to tell you that 2015 is going to be the first year in 15 years that we will actually have grown as a church family. Isn't that exciting? So you see my point about how the landscape has changed. We're in one service. We've been declining, but we're starting to grow. It's less of a felt issue to right size. So when I had those two major issues, those two challenges up there, I don't believe we need to think about that first challenge anymore. I believe we need to think about the second one. So the question has become, the second question for us, do we continue to kind of wait around for some more potential options to come up? Or, having decided to stay, do we fix our facility? The question is it time to renovate our home? As we consider this, as I've been praying and thinking about this, another thing has come on the horizon that's kind of like another stream into this. This is the stream. Rhonda Mers, our business and facility manager, came to Kent and I a few months ago, sat down and said, you know what, guys? 4 years ago, we needed a new youth center roof. Today, we really need a new youth center roof. In fact, I'm concerned we'll even get through the winter. We've done our final kind of patch job, and we're hoping and praying it holds. But it's in a real, real mess. So that's a new pressure. I mentioned earlier we didn't really want to fix it. At the time, we didn't want to spend the money because we weren't sure we were staying. Well, that's changed. We're staying. Another thing I said is that we weren't using that room as much. Well, here's another interesting stream that kind of flows into this. So in the last couple of years, the usage of that space, we've been following kind of facility usage graphs and so on, it has increased significantly. Our children use it every single Sunday morning now for their open session. Every time we have an evening gathering, we meet in there. Every time we have a missions evening like last Sunday, we meet in there. Every time we do a montage talent night, we meet in there. Our Christmas bureau is in there for sort of 6 weeks now. Was last Christmas and is again this Christmas. At 1 o'clock today, that's why I've got to keep going, I'm doing a wedding in there at 1 o'clock. So I better get over there in time for one. I won't keep it that long, don't worry. My point is we're using that building a lot more. The usage has increased. And if we suddenly lost that building because we decided, well, let's just hope the roof holds, and eventually what happens is that it gets so bad that it upsets the sort of integrity of the structure of the building, and maybe at some point we have to put tape around it and derelict that end of the building. And by the way, the cost to pull that thing down, we know what the cost is as much, if not more, than actually putting a new roof on, and we lose a room. So we don't want to go there. So the landscape has changed, church family. I believe, our leadership community believes, we need to fix our home. I sense that we have been channeled and funneled toward this place. We've taken our time. We've done our due diligence, particularly with the task force and all of those options. We've brought it before Jesus. We've prayed a whole lot. As doors kind of seem to open, we probed them. And we talked about them and prayed about them, and they closed. These are all discernment practices. We've made a decision to stay. The timing is very interesting in this sense of getting channeled and funneled to this place. All of a sudden, we've been told we need to move on this roof, and also we're using it far more now. You want to hear something else about really neat, interesting timing? I haven't told you this up till now. This fall, we received a gift, a six-figure dollar gift. Isn't that wonderful? A dear, dear, sweet lady from our church family who passed away in 2014, she wrote us into her estate. And, it took some time to come through, the lawyers, it took a while and so on. And if ever we get something like that, we file it away. And it could be $500, it could be $1,000, it could be $10,000, you just don't know. So you're not told by the lawyers what it will be until it actually gets kind of figured out. So only recently I was told that it could be potentially a significant sum of money. And then this fall, just in the last few weeks, we received notification followed by a check for $230,000. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. What a wonderful gift from a dear saint who loved Jesus and loved this church, and we're very thankful for her. And God is using her special gift to us. Now, we were given direction in the will to split it half and half. So 115,000 is to go to overseas missions. I can't wait to figure that one out. That one we're just putting on the side burner for now, but we're going to start to dream and think and pray and say, God, how would you have us use this for missions? What could we do with this money? I'm very excited about that. That's a separate issue. We'll come to it in the months ahead. But we have 115,000 that we've put into a fund that is a six-figure beginning to a building fund, and I think that is wonderful. I feel like as we look back over the process, as we've been funneled to this place, as we're beginning to sense this is what we need to do, as we're using that end of the building more, as the church is growing, so God is going ahead of us and providing for us. Isn't this wonderful? Go ahead, cross the Jordan. I'll be with you, says the Lord. So this is what I believe we should do. Firstly, I'm going to give you the long-term, 100-foot kind of big picture view. I believe what we need to do is to fix and upgrade our facility, the whole facility, over time. The 100-foot view is that we should move from east to west and fix all the things that need fixing to give us a facility that will continue to be used throughout into the future for the generations to come. Because I believe, church family, that we need to be here. This city needs us. Central Abbotsford needs us. We need to work out our own local church calling in this space. And the church is growing. But I believe that we need to do it in phases. Because if we try to fix everything all at once, it's going to be overwhelming for us. And it's going to be too much of a financial burden on us. So we need to do it in phases. Also, not all of the building needs fixing tomorrow, right? So we start with the pieces that need to be fixed, and that's the youth center end. The other phase is, church family, we get to when we can, when the Lord enables us to. So we're working at laying out a plan of phases and what those phases might be, and we're penciling in even potentially a timeline, but all of those things are just plans and penciled in. That is, we need to be flexible because we don't want to move to another phase before we've paid for that phase. We want to be good stewards of our resources. We don't want to overtax ourselves because, we need to give to this. So we want to be careful so the timing may change. One phase that's further on may suddenly become more pressing than this phase because something breaks and we have to flip it. You see what I mean? We've got to be flexible. We've got to be ordered. We've got to plan and pencil in and timeline and all of that. But we need to be careful how we do it. So we do it in phases. A chunk at a time. So that's the 100-foot view. What I'd like to do now is bring you down to level ground and talk about what phase one, I believe, should be. Phase one is the most pressing issue for us, and it's the youth center that we use actually a lot. We actually use the youth center more in number of hours than we do this room. The youth center is used a lot, and that is the area that needs fixing. So on its own, it is probably one of the bigger costs, just the roof, in terms of sort of one-off things that need to be fixed. It's a big one. Last time we were up on the roof, or maybe it was the time before, 30 holes were found in the membrane. 30 holes. It's in a bad shape. It crunches under your feet as you step on it. It is shot. We've got guys with big black patches just kind of patching it up for us just to try to hold the rain. Perhaps you've been through there maybe last year and you saw the kind of brown sludge that sometimes comes down the wall. You know, it's just ugly. And we ripped up the carpet. You probably noticed in that outer area there, we ripped up that carpet and just kind of painted it because the carpet was just disgusting. So we are patching and we're doing things we can to try to hold it. But the time is to move. We need a new roof, period. And so we'd like to have one. We'd like to start as soon as the rains clear up in the spring, next spring, summer, to put a new roof on that building. And we're investigating different potential options for material that we'll use for it and so on. So we're looking into that. But here's my conviction. I believe if all we do is the roof, we keep our heads dry, which is good. We maintain the integrity of the structure, which is good. We protect it. But you still walk into the youth center, it's still kind of like an ugly, dark room. You know what I mean? Like, it's old. It's from the 70s, and it needs to be renovated. My commitment to, or my conviction, excuse me, is that we need to replace the roof, but I think we should just renovate the whole space. So we need to pull up all of that carpet and put some new durable flooring in, fix up some of the drywall and repaint it in there. We need to fix up some of the lighting in there. We'd like to renovate those horrible bathrooms that are out there, and you know which the bathrooms are, right? They're going naughty. We need to fix the bathrooms. We may need to do something with soundboard and wiring. We'd like to open up that balcony again. We've got some ideas for that too. So the cost of the roof is big. To add that is significant, but it's not like twice the amount or anything, and we're working on that. But that's what I believe we ought to do with regard to phase one. And then we'd be left with a beautifully renovated end of the building. It's a great start. It's one of the bigger phases. We'll get it done next summer. That's where I believe we should go, friends. I think it's time for action, isn't it? I do believe God has opened and closed doors. I believe we have done our due diligence. I think we can confidently say that. We have prayed and prayed and prayed about this. We've decided to stay. We're using this place more. We're growing. This is a time to move on. And so we've been calling this process facing our future for a long time now. And it's time to change that language and call it embracing our future together as a church family. We want to continue to use this building to fulfill our vision. So far, we haven't talked about vision. We've just talked about fixing the bricks and mortar. This is visionary, church family. Our vision is to know Jesus and to make him known. And anything we do to the building has got to support that vision. And so to know Jesus, we want a healthy, renovated, fixed space where everything works properly in order to run the ministries that we have here, in order for us to worship together well, in order for us to hold places and gatherings for healing and mission and fellowship, and our youth group, and our young adults group, and our women's ministry, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We need to fix up the space to continue to be able to use it into the future as we seek to grow and be discipled and come to know Jesus more. But we also need to use the building to help make Jesus known. We want a fixed space where we can continue to declare the gospel through ESL and Starting Point and our Sunday morning services. And we want to give our building away. We want to continue to use it to bless our parish, our local community. And we've been doing that through Clothesline and Abbotsford Connect, our addiction recovery ministry, using it for the Christmas Bureau and partnering with the food bank in that way. And a place to call home and our weather shelter. And, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of ways in which we give this building away to bless our community, to make Jesus known. And by the way, we're always dreaming up new ways to use the building to bless our community. We continue to dream and think, and ideas are brewing. And we want to hear from you, and I'll get to that in a moment. I think it's easy to slip into, over the years, that kind of sense that, you know what, this building, it's a bit like a noose around our neck. It's too big for us. Kind of needs fixing. It's going to be expensive. Oh, man. Instead of saying, what a wonderful building we have, and what a privilege we have to get to fix it up and to use it for God's glory. And let's dream about how we can use it for our community and for the gospel of Jesus. So, church family, I do not have a dollar figure for you today. I do not have a budget for phase one yet. We're working on that. We're going to be working on that over the next while. So we're not asking for money today. But understand that. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about what that might look like. And we'll be talking about the faith it will take for us, and all of those kind of things will come. But this is what I'd like to encourage us together as church family from a financial perspective. This is what I'd like to encourage. It is November, mid-November, and as is often the case for us, you know, we're in a bit of a deficit, and you've maybe been following the bulletin, you see the deficit we're in. My encouragement from a financial perspective is for us to pull together as church family and erase our deficit by the end of the year. Wouldn't it be great to end in the black? I think it'd be such an encouragement to start 2016 with a blank slate, meaning in 2016, the year when we tackle the building project, we don't have a deficit, so that $115,000 we've got, which is a wonderful starter, doesn't have to be used to cover off a deficit. It would be great to have that ready to help us. What a great start to the building. My encouragement is, then, church family, is let us all do whatever we can to pull together to eliminate our deficit. I'd like to say one other thing, church family. We want to hear from you. I've downloaded a lot to you today, but we need to hear from you. We want and crave your feedback. We want to know if you hate the idea. By the claps, I think that most people don't hate the idea, which is good. But we want to hear back from you. We want to know if you're behind the concept. We want to know if you're in support of it or not. Because if you're not, well, we can't do it. The only way we can do this is if we all pull together and do it together as church family. It's the only way it will work. So what I'd like to do is this. I want to give you some time to digest, because you've had a lot of information sent your way. Take a week or two to think, to talk to each other, to pray about it, to process. Either tomorrow or Tuesday, this sermon will be online. Go and listen to it again to listen to what I've said if you need reminding, because there's a lot of stuff to take in. Think about it. Then within about a week, maybe 2 weeks, we're going to get a feedback mechanism out to you. And it will probably be some kind of short questionnaire that is there to gauge, A, your kind of buy-in or not to the project, if you're behind it or not. And secondly, some questions for you to ponder. Some questions for you to dream about and think about. The ways in which we can use this facility for God's glory. Because we want to hear your dreams. Because guess what? If we go ahead and just fix everything, and then we have this great idea we believe is from God of a ministry, and we're like, oh, if only we'd renovated the room in that way, we could have used it. Like, we don't want to do that. We want to dream now and think now before we start fixing stuff. So let's dream. Let's ask Jesus about how we should be using this facility and so on. Because God speaks to all of us. So looking forward to your feedback in the coming weeks. Finally, let me close with this. As we've been thinking and praying and talking this through over the last few months, another thing has been happening kind of in parallel, and that is we've been raising money to fix the cross on our property. So we've had it painted and lit up and so on. Well, Pastor Matthew actually made this really kind of neat connection between that and what I've shared with you this morning. And this is the connection. He said, isn't it really cool? Isn't it kind of neat? Isn't it great that as we begin to talk about a building campaign and fixing things, the first thing that got upgraded and fixed was the cross? Isn't that cool? The first thing that got renovated is the symbol of our faith that declares to Abbotsford that we are all about Jesus. And it's already renovated and fixed. So you could say phase one is done. So, I wanted to share this with you today. So you'll notice it hasn't been lit up yet. And there's a reason for that, because we wanted to light it up today. On the morning that I share with you about this vision, and seek and ask you for your feedback in the coming weeks, we want to light up the cross tonight. So we're inviting you back here tonight at 7 p.m. in our parking lot. We won't keep you long because I know it's kind of cold. It might be raining. Bring your umbrella. Bring a flashlight because we're going to have some song lyrics. We're going to meet outside, and we're going to switch that on, and we're going to say a few words, and we're going to sing some songs, and we're going to declare that this is our home. We're staying, and this is why we're staying. This is what it's all about. Amen.